And would you all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Have a roll call.
Commissioner Summer?
Present.
Commissioner McPhail?
Present.
Commissioner Bangs?
Present.
Chairman Eichert?
Here.
And Vice Chairman Robinson is absent.
All right. The final agenda, is this it?
That's final as submitted.
So the change in the consent calendar, where we won't be able to address the June 27 minutes, we just postpone that? Is that what we do?
I suggest that a motion be made to remove the June minutes from the consent calendar.
Ah, good.
For the second, and then you can vote on the consent calendar as is.
Good. Thank you.
I'll make a motion to remove the June minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
No opposed?
And that is to continue to the next meeting.
Right. So, the consent calendar for tonight. We do have minutes from July. We've been away for a while.
I'll make a motion to approve those July minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None? Good. All right. That brings us to our public hearing. Have we properly noticed this hearing?
Yes, properly noticed.
Any commissioners declare any conflicts? None? None here? Ex parte contacts? None? 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 So then I'll open the public hearing. You're up, James.
Good evening, Chairman and Commissioners. This first item, what we have before you is a request to amend a vested tentative track map at East Area 1, and that is track 5990. It's a 6.3-acre site that currently has 68 lots. It's being shifted to 4 lots to accommodate condominium units, and the reason being to be able to accommodate the size and configuration based on our code and based on the development requirements. The condo track allowed to be in alignment with what the original plans were for the number of units. They have a similar product to this in Upland, California, that they've used in it. Let's see here. Oh, that was the end. Okay. So, that first slide that has the whole tract on there. Yeah. I don't know what's going on here. Oh, I see. Actually, that's fine. Let's just go back to that. Yeah, there we go. So, if you look in the upper right-hand corner, this is the site that we're talking about. Originally, this was subdivided into 68 units, and now we're looking at 4 tracks that will accommodate that. So the recommendation to the planning department, to the planning commission, according to this, is just to recommend that the city council that approve this and recommend it to the city council for vesting this track map from those 68 to 4 tracks. It's in alignment and in conformance with really the general plan, the plan for this area, our development code, and it also is exempt from CEQA requirements. So outside of that, Tim Jones is here from Lewis Limonera and can provide some more background if you have questions for me or for the applicant. We can accommodate that.
Would he like to speak to it or just?
Thank you.
Okay, make sure I'm using this right.
Is this a full slide show here?
So this.
Good evening, Chairman Eichert and members of the commission. Thanks for having me here tonight. What we have here is a vesting tentative map 5990, which was one of the six tentative maps that we approved last November. And this map was intended to be for a product type that we have in our Harvest at Upland community, which is another one of our harvest communities. I'll show you a little bit of the product type in a couple slides here, but we noticed that the product type that we had selected didn't match exactly. It met the development code, but it didn't meet the specific plan requirements for setbacks. So this product type, which is really, it's a single family home, but it's a higher density single family home product type that has a building separation of about 7.5 feet. So the code setback, or the specific plan setback requirements for a single family detached lot are 5 feet, which would be a 10-foot building separation. The development code allows for building separations of, 6 feet for condominium purposes, for detached condominiums. So what we decided to do is go ahead and amend the map to be for condo purposes. So it's the same 68 houses that we were proposing. It's the same street configuration. Everything's the same. It's just going from 68 detached, single-family detached units to 68 detached condo units. And so you can see here, it's still the same configuration and everything. It's just now 4 condo lots, and that allows us to do this product type. I was hoping to take everybody, I think we invited everybody on a product tour earlier this year to go show you some of our stuff in Upland and in Chino, some of our other harvest products, projects. But this is the models from the Harvest at Upland project, and this is the product type that we're proposing for this tract, hopefully. Of course, it'll depend on, you know, the actual builders that buy those lots from us, but this is the product type that we're envisioning for this. This product type, single family detached would fall into the low to medium density residential. When you start getting into attached condos, then you start getting into the medium to high, which would be, 14, 15, 20 units per acre. This product probably plots at about 8 units per acre, and it's really an alternative to attached condos, or attached townhomes. So in other words, it's townhome living, two-story, but it gives the buyer an actual driveway, and it gives them a small backyard, about a 10-foot backyard. So it's priced competitively with an attached condominium product, but it gives buyers just a single-family detached feel. So this is the product type that we're proposing. As I mentioned, the building separations are about 7.5 feet in this, which is, so if we had a single family detached, that would be about 3.75 feet to a property line. So we've eliminated the property lines. It's now a condominium detached condo product is what we're proposing. So that's basically why we're here, and here it is. See if you have any questions.
Commissioners, any questions? Commissioner McPhail?
Well, state, I don't have any problem with the change, but I do have a couple of questions. If there's no property lines, who takes care of the 7.5 feet in between?
So there is a, it lives and feels and everything just like a single family detached home. There's a fence between them, and that fence is shared responsibility, just like in a single family home. The difference is you own the unit, So you own the building, you're responsible for maintaining the building yourself, and then you own a, what they call, the unit includes a exclusive use common area. So the HOA owns the land, okay, and then the buyers of that unit, the house, have an exclusive use to that common area. So it's a common interest subdivision. Those 68 people, or let's say in one of those lots, one of those four lots, if there's 20 homes in those four lots, those 20 property owners own that lot. It's a common interest subdivision. So they own that lot, and then they have an exclusive use to their unit, which is a defined on a condo map, and so they're maintaining their unit instead of maintaining their lot. But the, in all essence, it's the same thing. They're just, it's called a unit instead of a lot.
So as an example, if I were to buy one and I decided I didn't want to take care of that 3.5 feet, the HOA would take care of it?
It's that 3.5 feet, well, it's just like a single family home. So you've got a side yard fence between them, and then you've got a return fence that goes, you know, parallel or perpendicular to the houses. So there's CCNRs that would require that those people maintain those. Now, an HOA has the ability, if somebody does not maintain it, to step in, do the maintenance, and then assess them for that. Yeah, but they don't have an obligation. Right. Now, in this particular case, you know, in detached condos, you can go either way with that front area in front of the front fence. So you could either make it common, maintain, so it's all maintained by the same landscape company all at the same time, or you can give the people the individual choice to maintain it and on their own. And that would be probably up to the individual builders that come in to make that choice at that time.
Thank you.
Commissioner Banks?
Is there any other changes for the homeowners as far as buyers? Does it change the price of the HOA? Does it change any utilities or anything like that, being a single family detached?
Actually, nothing changes because it's the, as you define a condo, you define who's responsible for maintaining what. The buyer of that unit is responsible for maintenance of that building and that exclusive use common area. So it's in essence, it's the same thing. Yeah.
Any further comments? Questions?
No question, but just a comment to bring the two new commissioners that were here last year, and we went round and round on this, and we left it up to staff on X percentage, whatever that percentage was, I don't remember, 20-30%. So this is just more the housekeeping situation. It has come through, but those are both good questions.
Entertain a motion.
I'll move staff recommended alternative one.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Did you get, you have enough, Tom, for writing the motion there? Okay. No, we do that sometimes. See, we do that sometimes. I just, kidding with you.
It's probably a ball game label.
Yeah, I think so.
No. Not that I know of.
No. Okay. Next item. Item B. Who's presenting that?
It would be...
That would be you?
Yes. Okay. So before you, you have La Unica Panaderia on 313 Harvard Boulevard. They're asking for a conditional use permit to expand their existing location. Formally, a resolution of the Santa Paula Planning Commission approving a conditional use permit to allow expansion of an existing market, La Unica Panaderia, with an existing type 20 alcohol license. That's to say they've had the same type 20 alcohol license for almost 30 years. So, kind of location map where they are on East Harvard. Some elevations of the existing building, if you had a chance to are you familiar with it or had a chance to drive by? Now, looking at their existing building, they have occupied this space and these two spaces, and formerly this was a beauty salon, which they're expanding into, and that is kind of a jumble to see all the improvements, but that's what we're looking at, is one combined space that will be occupied by the same business, which has been in Santa Paula, as I mentioned, for more than 30 years. Showing existing elevation and kind of small, but you have it in your package also, looking at what they're doing as far as improvements to it, which is pretty significant. I think some great aesthetic improvements and provide some great curb appeal for this business. Looking at the project site, it's commercial, general commercial, and a retail use, obviously. Looking around that site to the north, there are apartments. To the south, there's a shopping center. To the east, retail. To the west, retail. And again, why this is important when we're looking at this from a conditional use permit, we want to look at development code, general plan, and compatibility with other land uses in the area. And it really fulfills those elements. It's compatible and in concert with what's happening in the area and actually complements what's in the area. As I said, it's consistent with the general plan, complies with the development code, and it is categorically exempt from CEQA as a Class 1 exemption. What I wanted to mention also is there are conditions of approval that are within the resolution that really, more than anything, relate to, you know, planning requirements of a business that's a retail business that sells alcohol. As I mentioned before, they've been doing it for 30 years. Talking to the police department, we really haven't had any issues or complaints. They're a great business, and they've been a good part of the community. So really, we're here today. The recommendation of staff is to adopt Resolution 3768, approving the conditional use permit for La Unica Panaderia with the existing Type 20 alcohol license on sale, beer and wine, and design review for the property located at 313 Harvard Boulevard, subject to the conditions that are within the resolution. That's my presentation. And the applicant is here. They have some other things that they can share with you or answer any questions.
Commissioners, have any questions of staff?
I have a question on the conditions. Under number 7K, floor displays of alcohol beverages are not allowed, parentheses, beer mountains, and a copy of these conditions, da-da-da. Is that an ABC requirement, or is that a city requirement? Because I see beer mountains in just about every store.
I believe that's a city requirement.
Can I ask why they're being singled out or whatever?
I think we've consistently had that as far as their license in the past.
So it has to do with their individual license?
Correct.
So stores that have it, they have a different individual license?
Actually, I'll have to get back on that one. I don't know the answer.
I don't have a problem with the project. Yeah, don't get me wrong.
No, I understand. But it's a very specific requirement. I'm not sure what the...
I was just curious because I've seen them in different stores throughout town. That's why.
Pretty much every grocery store has it.
Yeah. I just didn't want them to be, for whatever reason, singled out. But if it's been their requirement forever, I don't care.
And they may be able to address that also.
Any other commissioners or staff? Would the applicant like to come up and address?
Good evening, commissioners. I'm Ilona Scott with Lauterbach and Associates Architects. And basically, the project is a tenant improvement. It's maintaining the same use, just improved for the customers. And we are very proud of the fact that the exterior is going to be an asset to the location. And the client together with one of our architects, are from the same region of Mexico where this was inspired from, and I would like them to present it. If you have any questions of me, I'll be available for anything.
Okay.
Rosie Hernandez.
Good night. Good evening. My name is Rosie Hernandez with Lauterbach and Associates. And yes, this is a very typical architecture style in Michoacán. I'm from Zacapu, Michoacán. And this is what you would see in little and smaller towns in Michoacán, typically Morelia, which is the capital of Michoacán, Cuitzeo, Tzintzuntzan, Pátzcuaro, all those smaller towns that you go by and you see that's the tile roof, the two-tone paint, the red typically, and the red varies, but the tone of red always on the bottom side, and there's a reason why, and I can stay here and talk about it all night long. The proportions of the windows and the ornamental arches and the rafter tails all come together and shows that type of architecture that has been going on for ages and that we're very proud of. And I'm very happy you guys liked it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening. My name is Noe Farfan. My parents unfortunately couldn't be here. They had a prior engagement in Mexico. But yeah, we're very proud of the design. And our main focus was to be able to expand, to increase productivity and efficiency, and be able to become more of an asset to the community. We've limited ourselves to events for schools and stuff because our capacity is so small and we're working on the day-to-day. But with a more efficient kitchen, more space, we could become a bigger part of the community. So that's what we're looking forward to. Thank you.
Thank you. Any others? I have no public comments regarding this. Right, Tom? Okay. Hearing, okay. Well, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move alternative one to approve conditional use permit 3768.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Oh, before we do that, are you sure that's the right number?
Well, that was the number given.
768.
Somebody mentioned 3768.
Well, that's 17 CDP02 is the item, so it's...
I'll amend my motion to approve conditional use number 2017-CDP-02.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None? That passes. Okay. And I'll now close the public hearing.
Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Good food.
Worth the money.
Okay, new business. Any new business? Staff, commissioners? Mr. Attorney? No? City Communications from the Planning Department.
We can talk about a couple things. I think the main thing is there's been a major uptick in development activity, both in the county and in the city. And that's everything from just basic permits, you know, from signs to use permits to actual development. So we can kind of see the writing on the wall
There seems to be a comfort in the development community and financing and things like that. And as you well know, there's been a lot of projects that have been on hold throughout the recession that are in full swing. So in the next coming months, I expect to see things like Sparkle Ranch project, Air Park project. We're working with them right now to kind of finalize some of their documents, so we'll be coming back with them. And then on the other side, we've had several projects that have come through that you've approved that are kind of up and running, one being the Palazzo Event Center. And I don't know if you had a chance to go to that opening or been in that building. It's pretty impressive. And also the Roses and Rivets Body Art. They've been open for quite a while, for more than a month now. So, and surprisingly, you know, both of those are one of the things I always have concerns about when it comes to especially planning commissions and councils is when we have development and people show renderings and pictures of what they're going to do. It's always refreshing when the reality becomes what the proposed was. Mm-hmm. So that's in those cases, we've seen that, and that's been good. I think that's probably it for now.
Okay. Commissioners, any special things we want to add? None? None? All right. Any requests for future agenda items? Hearing none, we shall adjourn.